Okay, so this is Bio 231, and it's the first session. It's January 19th, and we're just going over some organizational materials at the moment before we start the first chapter. So you can download these. These are PDF files, but make sure you don't pass them around. These are for your own personal use. Don't think about uploading them to the web because they're copyrighted by your textbook publisher. They're not mine. They're not really yours. They're only yours to use while you're in class. Course information, we've got the welcome letter, we got the syllabus, the weekly study plan. I want to look at some of these things during lab period with you. This is just a way to help organize your time so that you can succeed in this class. All right, so you need at least 3 hours of study time for every hour that you're in class. So lab, consider that 1 hour. You need at least 3 hours outside study time to pass lab. But if you talk to anybody that's taken the class, it will probably be more than that, especially before practicums and things like that. The 3 hours is just kind of a general ballpark. Here are some plugins that you might need, for instance, like a PDF reader or other kinds of media players to operate with different media that we have on the web. And then we have some internet connection tools here to see if your internet connection will work. It will tell you how fast your internet connection is. We call that bandwidth and other kinds of stability factors. But you can read this and check out your internet connection to see if it's going to work for you or fail you during the semester. Other important things, documents. This is important. All right, lecture slides. These are the slides that I use in class, at least the text slides. You should download these, and you can work on them in your laptop during lecture if you want, as long as you can do it quietly, or you can print them out and make some hard notes yourself on these different lectures. So just download these and work with them while I'm talking. You don't have to copy down everything I say. And then this is crucial, lecture exam study guides. This is how you want to prepare for lecture exams. Download the study guides. They're in PDF formats. It tells you the chapters, the page numbers, and what questions I like at the end of the chapter, what practice quizzes you can take online, which I might take some questions from and put them on the lecture test. So you can get a lot of practice in before you come to class, and you should have a pretty good idea how you're going to do on that lecture test if you work with the things in Blackboard and with this exam study guide. One part of a lecture exam, since this is anatomy, is very visual. Another part is going to be more multiple choice type questions, matching true and false. The visual part is that I'll photocopy pictures from your textbook, erase the labels, and then have you, by matching, relabel them from a word bank within the test. All right, so you don't have to come up with those words. They'll be there for you to choose. So you just have to match. And in the exam study guides are all of the figures that I possibly might put on the test with the labels erased, and then you can just practice labeling them. That's kind of an archaic technology, because also in Blackboard are those same exercises but in electronic format. They're called drag and drop, right? And so you can do that electronically or do the paper form, or better yet, do both, right? And maybe if you do that 10 times, you're going to get 100% on that part of the test. If you do it one or two times, you might get a zero on that part of the test. So make sure you study enough before the test, right? It comes from the study guides, and you can download these right here. Now, I have a number of different ones. What do I have? I have one with figures, and I have one without figures. Look, one is 6 megabytes, and the other one right here is, 1.2 megabytes. So this is just a huge file. It just takes a lot longer. If you just want the text version, you can download this one. But if you want all the graphics, download the big file right here. Or download both and check them out, and you'll be familiar with it. All right, so that's in documents. Pre-lecture reading assignments. All right, there's a number of pre-lecture reading assignments. These are things that you should do before lecture. One part of anatomy is learning new terminology and a new way of speaking. And if the first time you hear a particular word is during lecture, you're wondering, what does that word mean? And in the meantime, I continue talking. Right, and in that meantime, you might not pick up anything that I'm speaking about because you're not familiar with that term. So the pre-lecture reading assignment is a way for you to become familiar with some of the key words and key topics and concepts so that you can really follow my lectures. These are not graded, but if you do these pre-lecture reading assignments, lecture will make a whole lot more sense for you. Okay, so those are the pre-lecture reading assignments for every lecture that we're going to have in here. And then here are the answer keys, and they become activated the day of the lecture. All right, so you can double check your work. These should be done well in advance of the exam. Right, these should be done before lecture. If you're working on your pre-lecture reading assignments the night before the exam, you're way behind, right? Because these are just a little introduction to lecture, which happens, what, weeks before you have an exam, right? So don't procrastinate in here. Okay, weekly assignments. This is where you're going to do probably most of your work in here. They're by week. Here is the date. So these are the dates that you're going to be preparing for this. And then every week, so of course the date changes right here. I activate a number of weeks as a chunk or as a block pertinent to a particular test that is approaching. All right, so I have weeks 1, 2, and 3 activated because these are the materials that will be on your first exam. But what you should be really concerned about is what? Week 1 right here. If you get done with that and you got time to go ahead, get a little bit ahead of schedule, well, that's great. Then you can go on to week 2. Within a week's module, all right, you have some objectives. It tells you what pages you have to read in the textbook. There's various labeling exercises, right? And maybe I'll work with some of these a little bit later, like body regions. Here is a graphic, and here is a way to electronically check your understanding of if you can label different body regions or what's anterior, what's posterior. We'll go over some of that stuff. There's some animations that you can view, and usually there's a little quiz that you can check yourself after the end of these animations. These are not graded. Here's another website that has all kinds of important information or little study guides and tutorials. And then there's practice quizzes. The tests might come from these practice quizzes. So these are just multiple choice, matching, true, false type questions that you can check yourself before you take the lecture exam. These you probably want to do maybe 5 or 10 times to make sure that you understand everything in here and relate it to the chapter. And then we see something, the last bit of week 1 is this section right here. And this section stands out compared to all these others. Why is it standing out compared to all these other sections that you see? I see a dollar sign right there, okay? Anytime you see a dollar sign online, that means that that material is going to be worth course points. It's something that you have to do, and you'll get course points that will then contribute to your overall course grade. None of these sections right here are going to contribute to your course grade directly, numerically, only this one, right? And so here is an online quiz, but after you do all of this stuff right here, this quiz is going to be a breeze. But it's nonetheless, it's open book, open notes. You can take it as many times as you want. But don't just take it the first time knowing nothing and copy the questions down and then fill in the questions very quickly, come back and take the quiz and get 100% because you'll still maybe get a 0 on the test, right? So prepare, you have to know everything in what, the study guide. And this will just point you in the right direction to see if you're learning the material properly. All right, so anytime there's a dollar sign, you got to do it. All right, that's just a little icon to be prepared for. So every week there's going to be assignments that have a dollar sign associated with them. That's how you get course points. All right, so I think maybe that's enough for Blackboard at the moment. Your grades you're going to find under Tools. Here's your SI information, some information about me. And once you mouse around in here, you're going to be in pretty good shape. But if you can't log in, that's a problem. You got to get that figured out this week. All right, if you can't log in, you got to work with me in lab or after class today. Yeah.
The quizzes
have
to be done.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Okay. So the date is every week. Okay. And where is that date? Okay, that date is January 25th. All right, so and it's going to be constant throughout the whole semester. It's always going to be a Tuesday, okay, at 11 p.m. So every Tuesday, except spring break, you have to have that quiz completed by. And once that deadline passes, I can't reprogram the site and let you go back. All right. And since I open all of these weeks as a chunk, right, you can get weeks ahead in this class if you want. That's a really good way to approach the class. So every Tuesday, you got a quiz. So by next Tuesday, you got to do it for week number one. All right. And then week number two, it's going to be a Tuesday, but that's February 1st, and it's the same time. Blackboard, in my previous experience, works well in the morning, works okay in the afternoon, and bogs down in the evening when everybody works on it. And in particular, the worst time to work on Blackboard is in the evening at 10:30. Why is that? Because everybody's got a quiz or something to submit at 11 o'clock. So that's the slowest time for the internet and for Blackboard. So if you got some time in the afternoon, that really works well. And a high-speed internet connection certainly will help you. And you can check your internet connection using, okay, these two websites right here. Here's a speed test. Here's a ping test. You can check out your internet connection. Write down what the various parameters are, right? So that program will tell you what your bandwidth is. So here are some benchmarks that I have at home. 1 megabit per second for download, and it's 0.1 megabits per second for uploading. Oh, I don't have numbers here, what my ping and latency is. Oh, but this is what it is for the class. High speed is defined as 768 kilobits per second. That's not typically very high speed anymore. Everybody should be maybe at least 1 megabit per second, maybe 10 megabits per second. Run these two tests, copy these benchmarks down, and then take this quiz right here. And what is this quiz worth? Okay, extra credit points. Now, I don't have a dollar sign, even though you get points for it. I have this. Anybody recognize this thing here? That's a forever stamp. All right, I have two forever stamps because these quizzes will be available for you the whole semester. All right, and you can take these an unlimited number of times as well, and they're worth I don't know how many points. It probably says in here someplace. All right, so these are a couple extra credit points. One covers your internet connection, and the other covers your knowledge of the course syllabus. That is also very important that you should know, but I don't want to go over the fine points of the syllabus today. All right, that you should probably read on your own, and then ask me questions if you have questions on the syllabus. But probably, looking over on the other slide, probably some of the most important things about the course syllabus, I guess maybe I'll point out. If you don't want me to record lectures and put them online, you got to let me know this week. The grade scale is 90, 80, 70, 60, based on these points from lab quizzes, lab practicums, online quizzes, and lecture exams. Okay, and of course, no screwing around when it's an on-campus test. If it's an online test, open book, open notes, anything on campus is closed notes, closed book, no electronic devices of any kind. And what else is important? All this stuff is important, but probably something really important is a schedule. Like your first exam is February 9th, and that is a Tuesday. Your second exam, March 9th, that's a Wednesday. It's a Monday-Wednesday class. First and second tests are on Wednesday. The third and fourth tests are on Monday. So we kind of spread the pain out a little bit so that if you got a lab on one of those days, we kind of split it out a little bit. Here's your spring break. And your final exam is during finals week on May 23rd. So you might want to print this out and tape it on the wall at home someplace so that you know what it is. The other schedule is right here for lab, and again, it's Monday-Wednesday class. We have a lab quiz every week except for this week, and then maybe every other or every third week we have a practicum signified by this P right here. It's a little bit bigger test that we'll talk about in lab, and you can see they're highlighted in yellow. You really can't miss any labs and do well in lab because we don't really have time to review. So you just have to be there, and lab practicums probably take about maybe 3-4 hours to set up. So there's just no way that somebody's going to set up a lab practicum just for you. right? So you got to be there on time for lab practicums on the days that are scheduled, because it just can't happen any other way, right? I mean, it would be nice to be more flexible, but nobody has enough time in the day to do that. So this is your schedule, all right? Whether you have a Monday lab or a Wednesday lab, so pay attention to this. You might want to print this out and paste it on your refrigerator too at home, right? But it's always available online in Blackboard. So the schedule, the grade scale, and contact information, and read through everything else. There's a lot of handy phone numbers and contact information for various services on campus within the course syllabus. Okay, so who's got a question on the syllabus right now? Anybody have a question on the syllabus? Okay, fantastic. Let's try to get started with lecture, if I can work with these computers right here. So let's practice downloading the lecture notes. Where would I go for lecture notes? I would go to, oh, help me out, course documents, I think. Okay, and then lecture slides. All right, and then lecture one. Now, I don't want to come back to the web again, so I'm going to right-click and say save target as, or save link as, or something like that. This is Firefox. So save link as works. Let's put it right here. All right, nice high-speed internet connection is probably done already. And let's minimize some of these things. And, there it is right there. All right, web browsers that work really well. I have a PC, so I can check my programming on a PC. I don't have a Macintosh at home. All right, so I can't check it in Safari. I can't check it on Firefox with a Macintosh at home, or anywhere else for that matter. So the only place I know that it works for sure is on a PC running Internet Explorer. Will work on all modules. Most modules will work with Firefox, but like that GetBody Smart won't work with Firefox. So that just is to give you a little bit of a heads up. Some people think that Blackboard works the best in Firefox and not so good in Internet Explorer. You'll probably have to just check and see how it runs on your machine and what versions and updates that you have. When you're looking at media files, make sure that you update your media player. Some of you might be running Windows Media Player version 5. Okay, Windows Media Player now, I don't even know what version they're at. If they're on 12 or 13 or 14, make sure you update it so that it works best with all the different kinds of video programs that I have. All right, so if there's a problem, try that first. But if you have a problem with Blackboard, I'm your first point of contact. And then if we can't solve it, then we can talk to other people on campus. Okay, so contact me first. All right, so here is the Word file. And this is, what year is it? It's 2011. I think this is Microsoft Word 2003, maybe. So it's an older version. Everybody should have that copy. There is a reader you can download from Microsoft if you don't have Microsoft Word that works on Macintosh or a PC, just so that you can view the file. I don't think you can edit it, but at least you can view and print the file out. Yeah.
Do they work well on Google Chrome?
I haven't tried Chrome either. I hear Chrome is nice and fast, but I don't have any experience with it. But if you try it, just let me know. I would guess that GetBody Smart won't, but all my other modules will work really nice. Okay. Now, as far as other browsers go, you know, AOL has a browser. Don't use that one because I don't even know if it's supported anymore. It's pretty archaic. It won't work. Okay, so, I have to make a decision. That's okay, let's get rid of that one. All right, so here is a Word file for chapter number one. Now, what I don't have printed out for you in here are the pictures that I use. All right, so I usually load those in the other frame over here, the other window. Okay, let me get to those. Here. Okay, I don't know what happened to 6. I'll find it. Okay, but we're on version 6. I'll put that here. Okay. All right, so we're about ready to start lecture, unless there's any other kinds of questions. Yeah, we got lectures for about a half hour, so I'm going to have to talk really fast. Yeah, hi. Yeah, let's check it out. Blackboard? Okay. Here's a frame that this left-hand frame never disappears. All right, so these are always going to be there when you're working within Blackboard. And you want to know the pre-lecture reading assignments, or which ones?
Yeah, I think there's more on there. We don't see any of that.
You don't see any of this stuff right here. I don't know how well Blackboard works as for mobile devices. I think there's a version of Blackboard coming out soon that might work on mobile devices, but I'd be interested to know, you know, what your operating system is. You know, is it an iPhone, is it an Android, or is it a Windows phone? All that HTC, it might be a Droid type operating system. Not quite sophisticated enough. It works on tablets and what are these little netbooks? It works on those, but I haven't seen it work on cell phones very well yet. Okay, navigation might be a problem. There might be a way I can change the navigation buttons to a different kind of architecture. It won't be as pretty, but there might be a way to navigate through the different windows by checking one of these little windows right here someplace. I'd have to work with you in lab on that. Okay, but. Of course, I'd want you all to be able to get this on your smartphones. That would be great. But you should be able to listen to lectures. You should be able to play WAV files on that phone and things like that pretty easily. All right, so some basic definitions before we start to look at some pictures. And that is the definitions for anatomy and physiology. And these are a couple terms that you're going to be thinking about probably for the next couple years, maybe for the rest of your life. So it's good to get some basic definitions down. Anatomy is the scientific study of structure. Okay, what makes the human body up? Like, give me the name of a structure on your body. You have a favorite structure? Ear? Digestive system? Yeah, digestive system, very important. Can't live without a digestive system. Okay. And so the digestive system has got different pieces, like it has teeth, right? It's got mouth, an esophagus that connects your stomach to your mouth and the stomach, right? And then it's got small intestine, large intestine, right? So knowing all these different pieces, how they're connected to each other and what they look like is anatomy, right? Physiology, on the other hand, is the scientific study of function. All right, and the scientific study of function tells us what all those little pieces do. And does your oral cavity, does your mouth look like your stomach? Maybe you haven't seen your stomach yet, but you're going to see your stomach soon. But your stomach doesn't have teeth. Okay, that's a really big clue. So your stomach looks a lot different than your mouth. And because the structure is different, guess what that means? It means that it performs a different function. The physiology is totally different, right? So structure and function are related to each other. If you change one, you change the other. We want to know structure first because that's the fundamental way that we understand the human body. We can understand the structure, and then understanding physiology becomes a lot easier. It's impossible to understand physiology without understanding what it looks like, how it's shaped, what all the pieces are. Right, and in lab, one of the things you're going to use this week is a microscope. And the first step of learning how to use a microscope is what? Is it physiology of a microscope or anatomy of a microscope?
Anatomy.
It's anatomy. What are all the pieces? You know what a piece looks like, you know the name, and then we'll tell you what the function of each of those pieces are. And then after that, we add up all those pieces together, all the functions of those pieces, and now you really know how a microscope functions and how to use it. But the place to start is with anatomy. That's why we have you take anatomy class before physiology. All right, so anatomy is the study of structure. Physiology is the study of how structure functions. Another good example might be the heart, for instance. All right, and the heart pumps blood. It's got a bunch of chambers, and it's got made out of muscle. And we have to know the structure of the heart before we really know how the heart pumps blood. And we got to know that before we understand how to help somebody when their heart starts to fail. Right? We got to know all of that stuff. All right, so what are some branches of anatomy that helps us understand physiology later on? Well, there's something called gross anatomy. Gross anatomy is just anatomy that you can see with your naked eye. You don't need any special instruments. Gross, in this sense, means big. Right? It doesn't mean disgusting. Right? So gross has a number of different meanings to it. And in English, a lot of words have multiple meanings. Right? And the same goes for anatomy. You might use one word to describe a number of different things, and it can be confusing. You have to know the context of how that word is being used. And I'll try to point that out to you. Now, there's a lot of important structure that you can't see with your naked eye because it's too small. So you need a special instrument in order to see it. And that instrument is a microscope. So when you look at small things like cells or tissues, you need to use a microscope. That's a whole other branch of anatomy. Learning the structure of a cell, learning the structures of different tissues that make up your body, we call that microscopic anatomy. Right. Another kind of anatomy is what we call developmental anatomy. Developmental anatomy just means that it's a study of how our body changes during our lifetime. And our body does change. Well, it's easy to see when we look at ourselves when we're 1 year old compared to when we're 20. But even when we're 20 compared to when we're 60, our body changes. Does anybody know what part of your body is growing all the time? It gets bigger. If you look at your grandma and grandpa, they always have a big nose and big ears because that's a part of your body that just keeps growing all the time. Okay, not hugely, but it keeps growing. All right, so that's what we call developmental anatomy. But there are changes in the human body also that happen all the time before you're born. That's what we call embryology, is the study of body structure, right, before birth. That is embryology. All right. Another kind of anatomy is surface anatomy. Surface anatomy is knowing anatomy by just looking at the surface of somebody's body. That's important to know some landmarks. For instance, this is what we call your elbow right here. Right? It's just a big bone sticking out. You're going to know what bone that is and what part of the bone it is. And also there's some things that go very close to that bone. Right? That if you bang your elbow sometimes, how does it feel? Does it feel like really good? You want to do it all the time? No, not unless you need help, right? There's a nerve that goes right by there. There's an ulnar nerve, right? So surface anatomy is you can take some very obvious landmarks on somebody and know what some of the deeper structures are around it, okay? And so there are very important surface anatomy features, like if somebody knows CPR. Anybody trained in CPR here? Yeah, a lot of people. You should all come sit in the front row in case I need help sometime. But there's a surface feature on people before you do chest compressions that you should always recognize. Anybody know what that is? It's a piece of a bone. The xiphoid process is a part of the sternum, part of your breastbone that's sticking out, and it has a tendency to break off if you're doing chest compressions, so you got to stay away from it. So you find out where that is, and then you do chest compressions above that region, and then you help the person instead of hurt them more. Right? So that's just kind of some surface anatomy. Regional anatomy is knowing anatomy by where it is in the body. Like, for instance, around your belly button. Know all the different structures, all the different organs that are in that region right there. That's a very advanced, difficult way to understand anatomy, and we don't really pursue that understanding in here, regional. But, of course, if you're going to be in medicine, if you're a physician, you have to know. So, for instance, if you get shot with an arrow, and an arrow goes through a certain part of the body, you should automatically know what organs that arrow has touched as it passes through. Okay? That's a pretty advanced way of thinking. What we do in here is called systemic anatomy. I should have this in your notes, so you should write that down. Can I modify this? Ooh, yes, I can. All right, so what did I have right here? I had regional. Anatomy is one way. Another way is systemic. anatomy. Systemic anatomy is a way of breaking anatomy down by organ systems. And there are a number of organ systems that we're going to talk about, and this is a very nice, easy way to understand anatomy. So we're going to learn bones. That's part of the skeletal system. We're going to spend a week or two learning bones. And then we're going to look at muscles, the muscle system. And we'll learn all the muscles in the whole body. Then we're going to look at the nervous system and look at nerves all over the body, not in a regional sense, but in a way that nerves like are organized inside your body. And then digestive system, for instance, and all the other different kinds of systems. All right, so here's another way that we organize the class. So the most important for us is going to be systemic anatomy. Okay. We have different levels of structural and functional organization. So if I say structural right here, what term do we want to associate this with that we just learned about? What scientific study? Anatomy. And functional organization is physiology, how these structures function. Okay. Well, do you think the human body is kind of complicated or something simple to understand? Just two extremes, one or the other, simple or complicated? I would say complicated, more complicated than it is simple. Okay. Well, there's many things that are complicated in your life. And if you want to understand something that's complicated, there is a tried and true method to understand something that's complicated. And how would you try to understand something that's complicated? If there's like your finances, I'm sure are complicated. Everybody's finances are complicated. All right. So how do you understand your finances? You break it down into small pieces. Like you say, I got to have money for car insurance. I got to have money for food. I got to have money for gasoline. Right? And so you just make a list of all the little components that you have to spend money on, right? And then you look at the whole big picture. You add all that up, and now you have a pretty good idea of what your finances are like. So breaking things down into small pieces, looking at the small pieces first, is the way to understand something that's complicated, and that's how we're going to study the human body. So let's look at the small things first. So we're going to learn a little bit about chemicals. These we can't even see with a microscope. All right, there's some important chemicals like adenosine triphosphate. That's an energy molecule that keeps you alive. Here are some electrolytes, calcium, sodium, potassium. These are important because they help adjust the electrical properties of your body. Cholesterol is important because it helps build the membranes of cells and it makes various hormones. And if you have too much, then it is harmful for you. All right, and then what is this right here? I bet you all haven't had chemistry classes, but I bet you all know what that is. That's water, right? H2O, hydrogen, two atoms of hydrogen and one of oxygen. That's water. That's the solvent that we're all dissolved in. So we're going to learn something about these various kinds of chemicals. And if we put these chemicals together, then we can get something called an organelle. That's the next highest level of organization. These are little functional units inside the cell. They have a particular structure or shape. They're all shaped a little bit differently, which means that their function is what? Is going to be different because their shape is different. You have the nucleus, which protects the DNA inside your body. Rough endoplasmic reticulum right here makes proteins, which is a kind of biomolecule in your body. And the Golgi apparatus or Golgi body, it modifies and packages various chemicals. It can interconvert proteins into proteins that are conjugated with sugar molecules. Right, to make a really slippery kind of molecule. Anybody think of a really slippery kind of molecule your body produces? Runs out of your nose when you have a cold? Mucus, exactly right. That's part sugar, part protein. And those molecules are put together in a Golgi body. Well, if we put all these organelles together, guess what do we get? We get a cell. Much more complicated kind of thing. Right? But what are the building blocks of a cell? What do you have to know before you can understand what a cell is all about? You got to know organelles, right? Because organelles are the building blocks of a cell. And what are the building blocks of an organelle? These chemicals right here, right? So you put a bunch of chemicals together, you get an organelle. Put a bunch of organelles together, you get a cell. And a cell is the basic living unit of all life. A lot of times people are interested if a certain kind of process is a living process, if the thing is alive or not, and it's got to be made out of cells. So we're going to look at cells in detail because that's really the key to understanding all of life. And if it's not made of cells, then it's something that's not alive. Okay? So sometimes I call that the structural and functional unit of life. It's the basic structure and the basic physiology of all life is based on the cell. That's a key theme that I'm going to use throughout the whole class, is to take a very complicated kind of topic and break it down into its structural and functional unit. And if you can describe that structural and functional unit of communication between cells, or urine formation that a kidney does, or contraction of a muscle cell, then you have a really good idea of what that process is all about. All right, so we got to spend some time on cells. But cells in humans, or human cells, just don't exist by themselves. We're made of trillions of cells, right? So if we put cells together, we get something that is called a tissue. And a tissue is made up of, it's going to have the same function. Okay, a tissue will have all the same kind of function. So what can you tell me about the shape of all those cells that are in that one tissue? If they all have the same function, they all have the same shape. They all have the same structure. As a matter of fact, even all the junk that's between the cells is the same. And your body can be broken down into four main kinds of tissues: epithelium, connective tissue, muscle, and nervous tissue. And we're going to talk in detail about all these different kinds of tissues coming up pretty soon. All right, so all epithelium have certain structural features that are similar, but epithelium is drastically different in its look compared to connective tissue by structure. And that means that the function is going to change. So if we take a couple of these different tissues and put them together, like epithelium and connective tissue, now we don't have a tissue anymore because it's too complicated. We call that an organ. An organ is a bunch of cells that are made up of two or more different kinds of tissues. Right? So what's the building block of an organ? It would be a tissue, a couple of tissues that you put together to make an organ. Okay? And what's a good organ for you to think about? What's your favorite organ? Your heart. Okay? That is an organ. But it participates in a system of things that kind of do the same sort of thing. Right? Your heart is connected to blood vessels. Okay? Which don't contract. Your heart contracts. So your heart has a lot of muscles. Blood vessels don't have a lot of muscle. Right? They're just tubes. So we put blood vessels together with a heart, different kinds of tissues, we get an organ system. So it's a group of organs performing one function, which would be what? Pumping blood through your whole body. You need blood vessels, right, as well as a heart to do that. And then if we look at all the different organ systems in the body, right, put them all together, then we get you. We get the organism. So you should be able to move up and down through this hierarchical organization of things and know what's the building block for the next highest level. Okay? And be able to tell me, if you put these building blocks together, what do you get? Make sure you can go both up and down this thing right here. So, since we are going to study anatomy on the organ system level, we call that systematic anatomy. Okay? Let's define what some of these organ systems are. But you're pretty much aware of what these are already. Okay. You know what? Before I get there, okay, here's a nice graphic that's in your book that shows you that hierarchical organization. The most simplest level is the chemical level. You put a bunch of chemicals together, you get organelles, right? My description is a little bit different than this graphic. Put a bunch of organelles together, you get the cellular level. You put cells together, you get tissue. Put different tissues together, you get an organ. Put different organs together, you get organ system. And if you put all the organ systems together, okay, then you get an organism. So this is just kind of reinforces that point right there. All right, so what are some organ systems that we're interested in? Well, like the skeletal system right here, which means your bones. Anybody know any names of bones in your body? Anybody have a favorite bone? Maybe you broke one. Ooh, too bad. Like femur, okay, that's in your thigh, or your hip bone, that's well in your hip. We're going to learn the name for that one. Humerus is in your arm. We're going to know a lot of names of bones that make up your head, like maxilla, zygomatic bone, occipital bone, and we got some good exercises to do that. All right, And so we're going to learn bones. That's one of the first things that we're going to learn in the class. And we're not really going to pay attention to other things, like the muscle system, when we study bones. We're just going to pay attention to bones. But if we pay really close attention to knowing our bones, that's going to help us know our muscles. Because a lot of times, muscles are named after the bones that they work with. And a lot of times, right, there are nerves that are associated with bones, and they're named after the bones that they go by. And parts of the brain are named after the bones that they lie underneath, like the occipital bone that makes the back of your head right here is protecting a lobe of your brain called the, since this is the occipital bone, it's protecting the occipital lobe. So when you learn your bones really well, you learn everything else in the class, right? So really pay attention, is really get a good foundation for bones. That will make life easy. So here's the skeletal system. That's easy. Muscle system, that's easy to know. Now here's one that probably you haven't heard before. This is the largest organ system in your body, and it's called the integumentary system. What the heck is the integumentary system? It's made of skin, right, and some accessory structures like hair, nails, right, glands, okay? And so here's the integumentary system. All right, so if I were going to put one of these organ systems on the test, would I pick something really easy like muscle system or skeletal system? No, because probably our kids know what those things are made out of, right? I would probably pick a term that you hadn't heard of unless you take an anatomy class. Like what? Integumentary system. Are they teaching that in grade school yet? I hope not. I hope there's a reason for you to come to my class. Good. All right, so integumentary system. So know these different systems like your nervous system, right? Brain, spinal cord, nerves in the periphery. Endocrine system made of endocrine glands like ovaries and testes and pancreas, okay, and part of the brain is an endocrine gland, the hypothalamus and pituitary gland. These secrete, all of these things are called endocrine glands because they secrete signaling molecules into the body that travel everywhere in the body that helps coordinate your body, so it helps the functioning of your body. That's an endocrine system. Here's cardiovascular system. That's easy to appreciate. Right, lymphatic system. We have lymphatic vessels and lymph nodes and lymph and a couple organs like the spleen and thymus right here. You can't know right now what the function is. That's the purpose of this class, right? It's going to take all semester to know what the functions of all these things are. All right, respiratory system. Well, you know, you got an upper airway, you got a trachea, lungs, digestive system starting with your mouth going all the way down to the anus right here that helps absorb nutrients and energy molecules from the food that we eat so that we can function properly. Urinary system, we've got the kidneys, probably everybody knew that, but other connecting points like the ureters, urinary bladder, and urethra, not very many components right there. And then the diversification system, we've got two. We got male and female right here. And so that's the last thing that we're going to look at in the class. Okay, so make sure you have a little bit of an idea of what some of these different organ systems are. Okay, terminology, body plan, anatomical position. You have to get a pretty good idea of what anatomical position is. For instance, say you're going to meet somebody for dinner tonight at a restaurant you've never been to. You don't know where it is. Okay, and you start there and you don't have GPS in your phone. You don't have GPS in your car, and I don't either, and we're really behind the times. That's just the way it is, all right? But I have the address, and I start driving there, and I say, oh, well, I know where it is. I can find it. And I get there, and then I get lost. But I do have my cell phone, so I call my friend and say, hey, I'm lost. Can you help me get to the restaurant? And they say, sure, be happy to help you. But they can't help you. Why can't they help you with the information that I imparted to you? Because I don't know where I am. In order for them to help you, you have to know where you are. You have to have some fundamental understanding of where you are. If you could say the street corners of here and here, then your friend can help you get to where you want to go, right? So before you can know anything about anatomy, you need to know how your body has to be in a standard configuration, and we call that anatomical position, right? An anatomical position, because we can say, how do you get from your right hand to your left hand? Well, you got to know where they are, right? Or how to get from your belly button to your elbow. You got to know where they are before you can tell somebody in anatomy how to get from one structure to another. So these are where all the different parts of your body should be in a standard position. So think of somebody standing straight, facing right at you, all right, with your head erect like that, with your arms down by your side, and your feet flat on the floor like that. So that's a nice relaxed position, but that's not anatomical position. There, you have to do a little change. You have to take your thumbs from, instead of pointing toward the inside of your body, you have to rotate your palms so that your thumbs point to the outside. So anatomical position is just like this. Palms facing forward, the back of your palms facing backwards with the thumb out to the side. So now if you go from your thumb to your little finger, which way do you go? Do you go to the outside or do you go to the inside? You got to go to the inside, right? If you're just relaxed like that, then the directions don't make any sense. So you always got to think of the human body just like this. All right, and here is that picture of anatomical position right here. Nice person in anatomical position because we see the thumbs pointing to the outside. Well, we got to know some regions, right? So here is the head, right? Now we got a neck. I got some drag and drop exercises on all this kind of stuff, right? And then this is what we call the trunk, right? And the head is attached to the trunk, but we also have appendages that are attached to the trunk. Here we have upper limbs and lower limbs that are attached to the trunk. And each of these regions can be broken down into other regions as well. For instance, the trunk has a thorax. So here would be like underneath this would be the thoracic cavity. Here is the abdominal or abdomen. And then down over here is the pelvic region. And even below that, the floor of the pelvic region is what we call the perineum. Okay, so there are regions that can be broken down into different regions. The two main regions of your body are, first, your appendages right here. We call that appendicular region. That's both of your upper limbs and both of your lower limbs, which is different from the axial region. The axial region is head, neck, and trunk. So if we're going to just break the body down into two regions, it would be axial and appendicular. Appendicular we can break down into upper and lower. And then, of course, we're going to break down this lower appendage into various regions as well later on. Okay, so that's some important things. I don't think I want to talk about that today. Okay, I can finish up talking about this slide right here. Well, if you want to describe where this pencil sharpener is in the room, okay, how many numbers would you have to tell somebody to get to this pencil sharpener right here? How many numbers? You have to tell them how far it is off the floor. Okay, but would that tell them where the pencil sharpener is? No, because it could be anywhere, right? Just that distance off the floor. All right? Then you have to tell them what? Maybe how far away it is from a wall. Now, would that tell them exactly where it is? Okay, so you know how far it is off the floor, how far away from the wall, but still it could be where? Anywhere in this region right here. What's another thing that you'd have to tell them? How far away it is from a front wall or a back wall. So if you give them those three numbers, right, how far from the floor, how far from the side wall, how far from a front wall, you know exactly where this thing is. Okay, so there are three dimensions to physical space in order to completely describe something. And we want to look inside somebody, so we want to cut somebody open. And we can do that, not necessarily with a scalpel, but we can do that with an x-ray machine or an MRI unit. So there are three basic planes that we can image somebody on, right? Just like there's three spatial dimensions. Here are the three planes. A plane that separates the right from the left part of the body. This is what we call a sagittal plane. So a sagittal plane is like this, separates right from left. And if it's a plane right smack in the middle of your body, right down through the middle of your nose, to between your two front teeth, through your belly button, we call that a mid-sagittal plane. But that sagittal plane can move to the right or left, right? And then we would just call that a sagittal plane. There could be a sagittal plane that separates your left arm from the rest of your body, but as long as it's separating right from left only, it's sagittal. Another plane is that it can separate a top part of your body from a bottom part. That's what we call transverse. You don't have any symmetry in that direction, so there's no mid-transverse plane, right? The top of your body is always going to be different than the bottom part because you got a head up on top. But nonetheless, that's a transverse plane. And then, so that's two. How many more planes do we need? We got sagittal, we got transverse. We need one more. And that's what we call frontal or coronal. That's going to separate the front part of your body from a back part. Okay, so with those three planes, we can get a really good look at any part of your body. So here is transverse, here is sagittal, and then here is frontal, or sometimes we call that a coronal plane. It goes by that word. So here is a plane that has different names associated with it. And in anatomy, structures might have three, might have four different names. And on a practicum, you can use any of those four different names as long as you can show me, and I'll give you credit for it, as long as I know that it's a standard terminology, or if you can show me your reference, right, some good reference someplace, then I would give you credit for using that particular term on a test, right? But maybe not a website that you built, okay? So it's got to be some good reference, like a textbook or something, or a good website someplace. All right, so you got to be familiar with these planes right here, and there's some interactive exercises in Blackboard. You can practice these. And give me an example of something that has more than one name that can be used at different times. Not a series of names like me, I'm Joel Goldberg, but there's like a structure, like something that has two different names. Like something that, how about a good example, there's a street over here. It's called Lincoln, but if you go to a different town, it's called something else. What's it called?
Carson.
Like Carson when you get down to Long Beach. Okay, so you just have, like in anatomy, you just have to be aware that different names mean the same thing. All right, for instance, like I have a lot of different names too, right? Like some people call me doctor. Other people call me honey. So you just have to know the right circumstance. The same thing with anatomy, right? Okay. All right, so make sure you download all your information in lab. I'd like to see your pre-lecture study guides, and I can help you with that. Your study plan, print those out and bring them to lab. And then, of course, next time, bring all your lecture notes. And did I pass the sign-in sheet around? Oh, good. So whoever has that sign-in sheet, please bring it down to the front of the class. Oh, good. Thank you. And I have extra syllabi right here if you need one.
Okay. In 2 weeks, I should have that copy back. You just need to reserve it.
Then I won't even modify that.
I'll just
append it and say...
Look at whiteboard or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
I'll see you next Wednesday. I'm taking a class that...